Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
In 1749, Charles Wesley, one of the founders of the Methodist movement, published a collection of hymns and sacred poems called, wait for it, Hymns and Sacred Poems. Creative. Maybe you've read it. It was, of course, not the first collection that he published, nor would it be his last. Some will know that in his lifetime, Charles Wesley published more than 4,500 hymns, and that's not including the 3,000 or so that he left behind in manuscript form at his death. You would even know a few. Love divine, all loves excelling. Christ the Lord is risen today. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Don't worry, I won't go through all of them. The point is, he was prolific. In fact, some credit the long-term success of the Methodist movement itself to Charles Wesley, because it was through his hymns that people learned what we believe. Anticipate your heaven below and own that love is heaven. Anticipate your heaven below and own that love is heaven. Beautiful. But it turns out that tucked away in that 1749 collection was an obscure hymn that for 30 years nobody used. For 30 years, nobody sang until 1780, that is, when Charles's brother, John Wesley, better known to some, decided to include it in a collection of hymns for the people called Methodists that he called, you guessed it, Hymns for the People Called Methodist. Something to be said for just calling it like it is. He included it in that particular collection with a special instruction. His version of the hymn, he said, you should use, you Methodists, at the start of every annual gathering. The idea was that by pausing for a moment to sing this hymn and reflect on the year past, their time away from one another, they might find a way to honor their losses, to celebrate their successes, and to, above all else, remember God's grace made known in Jesus Christ. And are we yet alive and see each other's face? Glory and praise to Jesus give for his redeeming grace. What conflicts have we passed? What troubles have we seen? Have troubles have we passed? The conflict, the troubles without, the fighting without, and pain within since we assembled last. Let me just try that again. It's to the same tune as blessed be the tie that binds. And are we yet alive and see each other's face? Praise and glory to Jesus give for his redeeming grace. What troubles have we seen? What conflicts have we passed? Fightings without and fears within since we assembled last. And so it is that since for 241 years at every gathering of every annual conference around every Methodist denomination, around every part of the world, they have gathered to sing that very hymn. They've gathered to sing it together. We can almost picture the circuit riders who would gather together, Francis Asbury being one of them, the namesake for our own church. They would gather together and be able to look one another in the eye. They never found a home for themselves, and yet would somehow manage to come back together once a year to be able to look around the room and see each other face to face, to remember that they weren't alone. And to ask that old question, and are we yet alive? It was a way to look back over the hard year that they had just faced and recognize that though they had suffered the slings and arrows, though they had been on their own, they were not indeed alone. Sometimes, as we know, we need that reminder, especially after a hard year. We need the reminder that we're not alone, especially after we haven't been able to see each other face to face, especially after we haven't been able to look upon one another. Sure, the live stream is great, right? It's kept us going, and thank God to everyone who has helped make it possible. God bless you. But as we were reminded this morning as we gathered, it isn't quite the same as seeing one another face to face. Sure, this is great, but it's not quite the same. Today we had at 9 o'clock our first service for those who wanted to come and be in person. We will have others as we move forward, and we will slowly start to find our way back in, but we didn't have everybody. Some of you weren't there, and that's okay. We have to be careful in our return, just as we were careful in our departure, though now we have a little more time to plan. Some will remember that the last service we held, a full service in this space, was on March 8th, 2020, when we installed the Reverend Susan Schaefer as our senior minister emerita. We had some vague notion that there was a storm brewing, but no clue as to the magnitude we were about to face. We went from 3 full services that day to over a year of empty pews, to over a year of the only way to access this service being over the live stream or the phone or the radio, to over a year of worshiping on our own, if not alone. And now we're starting to come back. So maybe it makes sense to ask that age-old question, to lean into our Methodist heritage a little bit, to look around and ask ourselves, and are we yet alive? Only as it turns out, as so often happens, it's the simplest questions that are the hardest to answer. Sure, we could just take it literally, and most of us would answer yes. Though not all of us. The truth is, there were some faces who were not here this morning, not because they were waiting for another service or the fall or prefer the live stream, but because they have died in the last year. Maybe you're remembering one of those people this morning. Someone with whom you used to share a pew, who used to greet you on your way into church, who would usher you to your seat, whom you would talk about the service with. The truth is, not everybody can come back. That doesn't mean they're not with us. We've lost so many people in this last year, friends, some we know about and some we don't. Some from COVID, some from other causes. We mourn them all. And we honor their loss. But of course, people are not the only thing we've lost this year. As we answer that question, and are we yet alive, the honest answer is, for some of us, barely. After all, this year has been hard, and we've all begun to show some scars, if they've just shown up, even if they've just shown up. So maybe some of you have been following the news and recognizing the trends and the mental health crises that have increased over the last few months, especially in young people, though it's there in all people. It makes sense. We could all last 14 months of this, but after 14 months, even those of us with great reserves of mental and emotional and spiritual energy are starting to find ourselves running on empty. You're not alone. This has been a struggle for all of us. This is hard for all of us. And it's not just the pandemic. Sure, the pandemic is part of it, but that's not the only thing we've dealt with in this last year. We've had a year of racial reconciliation in which we've suddenly awoken to the injustice that we have been for centuries ignoring. But that's not it either. We've also had a contentious election, an armed insurrection, and a proliferation of gun violence around our country, and that's not even to mention what's going on in our own lives. Any one of those things would be hard, but the fact that we're all having to deal with them all at the same time means that this is really hard. It means that the question, are you still alive, is valid. Maybe some of us are struggling to answer it. It makes us ask and stop and ask ourselves, what actually is life? That is, of course, a quintessential Christian question. That's why we've come here, isn't it? At some level, we want to know what it means to really live. Fortunately, we've come to the right place. That's what the Christian faith is about. Sure, we've made it about lots of other things, but in the end, it's really about life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Our whole job here is to come together and figure out what it means to really live, not at death, but right now. Only it turns out that where we look for that life matters, which we've learned in this last year, haven't we? I mean, one of the successes we have of this past year is recognizing that we can let go of some things and still find life. It turns out we don't have to go to soccer practice to find life. We don't have to ace that test or get into that college or even have a job to find life. We don't have to show up to church on Sunday morning to find life. No, in the end, we have to just hold on to that one thing that feeds us, that brings us life, that gives us nourishment for the journey ahead, that allows us to bear fruit in this world. We heard it expressed in the Gospel of John. Today, they use the image of a vine. Remember, John is writing to a people who have struggled. It's one of the latest additions to our gospel, one of the latest addition to our Bible, maybe the latest addition. It's written for a people who had already struggled with what it means to really be a Christian. There were people who thought, well, we just wait around for Jesus to come back. By the time John is writing, they know that's not true. They know that the point of faith is to find life, and we can't wait for it. We have to live it now. We never know what a day is going to bring. Certainly, we've learned that in this last year. In this passage today, he uses that image of the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit. We find fruit when we latch on to that thing which nourishes us. When we prune away that other stuff that just gets in the way. Friends, what is it that you've pruned from your life in this last year? Did you miss all of it? As we begin to slowly reopen, to return to worship, to come back into those spaces that we have left for so long, maybe we ought to consider carefully before we reach down and pick up those things again. Maybe we ought to recognize that not everything we let go of do we need to pick back up. Maybe it's time to only hold on to those things that actually bring us life. And who knows, if we do so well, we just might find that we bear more fruit. The good news is that even if we struggle, even if we reach down and pick back up all of those bad habits we've left behind, even if we have a hard time releasing the grasp we have, there is still God's grace. That even if we walk away from everybody else, God will not leave us alone. And as we've learned this last year, we can do a lot. If we know we don't have to do it alone. What conflicts have we seen? What troubles have we passed? The fightings without and the fear within since we assembled last. We've done it, friends. We've paused for a moment, as Wesley suggested, after a year of being apart, so that we might honor our losses, celebrate our successes, and above all else, remember God's grace. Now comes the hard part. For us to head out into the world, not waiting for one time a year, not waiting for the song to be sung, but to look at the way we live our life day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, and to consider how we spend our time, and to keep asking ourselves over and over again, and are we yet alive?
May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.